Oh, yes, he does. You go through trials and tribulations and stuff like that, but, you know, you learn something through that, you know, make you stronger. And the faith, like you're saying there, faith, yes. And I think Wednesday nights you have a prayer. They're praying for me to have a car, you know. So I turn around and went out looking for a car, a used car, because I can't afford a new one. Went out and got turned down on this one. My bank says, oh, anything over 2010, they would give me the money. But I didn't want to pay that kind of money and stuff. So I went down to this other place down there, and they brought one car out, and they're going to go through their bank. I got turned down. Same place now. And I went, then they had brought another car out. Maybe we can do it with this one. That got turned down. So they brought another one out. And he says, well, he tried this other bank, and he says, he's only going to give me $488 for my car. My car was a junk anyways, but $488. I said, okay. So he turned around, and he tried and tried, and he says, no. I said, well, look, give me the papers. I'll go to my bank. Maybe I can get it. My bank wanted 11% interest. So he turned around and come back, and he says, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you $2,700 for your car. It was $600 down, and it was $1,800 for this brand-new car. I got it down for $16, and it's right out in the parking lot right now.
Woo!
That's the Lord, I tell you. Being blessed.
Amen. It apparently is the season for the vehicle blessing. I have been blessed with a motorcycle, the motorcycle of my dreams. Thank you, Jesus. How God worked that out? Well, God just did it. And he used some people that I'm very grateful for. It helped me. Where'd Sonny go? Sonny just told me a testimony this morning. He's buying a car from somebody. Can I share it? He's buying a car from somebody. And the guy's keeping the car until it's paid for. Well, Sonny went to give him some money, and not even enough to finish paying it off. And the guy said, you know what? It's paid for. Hallelujah. So if you're in need of a vehicle, start praying. He does give you the best. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes, we can. Is there an update on Wendy? Yesterday I got a call. Now, for those of you who don't know Wendy, Rhonda's cousin, right? I happen to live in the house that she lived in once. Wendy's someone that Carol and Bill and many of us here have known since she was a little girl. And she's been struggling with cancer for many years. Yesterday I got a phone call that she's been taken to Thompson, and let's just say that things don't look too good for her. But you know what? I was here when I got the call. And there's something about praying at an altar church. And so I put down what I was doing, and I just came to this altar, and I lifted her up. And I put her in God's hand. And that's what we all need to do. We need to put her in God's hand. Not the doctors. Heavenly Father, we put Wendy in your hands. Lord, there were those, you have given us example in your words, where those traveled and come to you and asked God that you would move on behalf of a loved one and heal them. And your comment to them was that their faith had caused their loved one to be healed. Lord, we stand here in faith and trust in you. You are the only one, God. Man does not know what to do with cancer. All the treatments, all the tests, all the trials, all the experiments, there's nothing that's 100% except for you. God, when you move, people heal. So, Lord, we call upon your name and we put Wendy in your hands this morning. I ask, God, that you would heal her in the name of Jesus Christ. And not Wendy alone, Lord, but so many others. That's one request, perhaps, out of several that are here even in this room. Many of us, Lord, know somebody struggling with illness, weakness, disease, whatever the case may be. And God, we need you to intervene. And so together, we call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our healer. Heal them all, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm glad to hear she's doing a little better. I'm going to keep praying, and you keep praying, amen. do we have children? Children want to go downstairs? Children's church? No takers? It's all right. You can stay upstairs. It's not like Easter when we got a basket full of candy down there for you, right? That's all right. Praise God. John chapter 14. You know, I was thinking about why I do things I do. Remember last week I talked about inspiration. What's inspiring you to do what you do, say what you say, be who you be. And I was thinking about that. There's so many different inspirations, but one of the things that inspires me to preach God's word and to minister to people is I love to see transformed lives. Anybody like to see transformed lives? God is in a life-transforming business. And it's amazing that he uses ordinary people like you and me to do that, to encourage people. Whenever God puts something on your heart to do, do it. The other day I had a ton of stuff going on, and but God put somebody in my path. I'm like, you know what? I got to go talk to that one. God's timing is perfect. And the crazy thing is he walked over a mile to get to that place that I drove to, and God put us at the same place at the same time, and we had an encounter. God will do that for you. Think about the people that, oh my gosh, what are you doing here? God sets those appointments up. Because he wants to use you. He wants to use me to transform lives. Anyway, that's not what I'm going to talk about today, but a little bonus. John chapter 14, it says there verse 18, but I want to start back up a little bit. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper that you may abide, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not the Iscariot one, said to him, Is that what it says in your Bibles? Not Iscariot? Judas said, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let's stop right there. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, I pray now that you will use God's word to pierce our hearts and to change our lives. Bless now this message in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start by going back toward the beginning. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. And he tells us who that helper is. It is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Just that first portion right there should lift your spirits. If you have any faith in God at all, if you have any understanding of who Jesus is, when he says, I will pray for you, I'm going to talk to the Father for you. That's an encouragement, church. Who better to intervene for you with God the Father than Jesus Christ the Son? Right? Think about it, men. Somebody shows up at your house. Somebody who may have been a stranger. Never talked to you before. Doesn't know you. Hey, can I come in and eat your food and watch your TV? Maybe sleep on your couch tonight? That person would have a much greater chance if your son comes and says, hey, you know, this is a buddy of mine. Would you let him in? Right? Jesus, the Son of God, says, I will pray for you. I'm so glad that Jesus is praying for me. I need a lot of prayer. Anybody else need a lot of prayer? He said, I'm going to pray for you. And God's going to give you another helper. You know, I love areas, verses that talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 16 is one of those verses. I, Jesus, will pray for you. I'm going to talk to the Father, God, and he's going to send you a helper, the Holy Spirit. Oh, we serve a powerful God, church. In verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be with you. Now, think about this for a moment. How many people do you know that they're not following God? They don't know anything about God. Maybe they've never been to church. Maybe they have been to church, but they never listened. And they just don't have a clue. When you start saying things like, you know what, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. They're like, what? They don't know him. But the interesting thing about it is Jesus, you know, once you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you open up the door of your heart, and I'm going to talk about that verse in a little while, the Spirit comes in and dwells in, and you know him. One of the things that I find interesting in the Christian world and in the world where people profess to be Christians, attend church, and do those things, I find it very interesting that many of those people haven't tapped in to an understanding of the Holy Spirit when he's right inside there. Jesus says, you know them. I've talked about this before. You know God's voice. How do I know God's voice? I don't hear God's voice. Yes, you do. He speaks to you in your heart. You all know God's voice. We all know God's voice. Why? Because he's in you. Now, verse 18 says, I will not leave you orphans. The King James says comfortless. Those who have been orphaned before know what it is to be an orphan. It's not a very pleasant experience for most orphans. Jesus says, I will not leave you orphan. And if you look at you look up the definition of the word orphan, and it talks about somebody who's fatherless or has no parents, no guide, no guardian, that sort of thing. Jesus doesn't want us to be left alone. Jesus will walk with you through this life, and you will not be alone in this world. That, again, should be something that comforts you. Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans. How many times in this life do we get to these areas where and I think God does it by design. I think there are times that God puts us in such a place where we feel so alone. You ever been there? He said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And so here's the thing. If you're feeling alone, what I want you to do is open your eyes and look for Jesus. Because he says, I will not leave you alone. I will come to you. You know, one of the greatest things, how many like it when their dog comes when you call their name, right? Or your children when you call their name? Huh? The dog's usually more obedient than the children sometimes, right? How about the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings? Do you know that when you call upon his name, he shows up? That's a beautiful thing. He cares so much about you that just the mention of his name is enough to draw his presence. You know, as we sang a few moments ago, there's nothing better, no better place than to be in his dwelling place. And you know what? He makes his dwelling place right inside of you. That's what we just read. And so when you're feeling alone and when you need somebody in this life, open your eyes and open your mouth and speak the name of Jesus. I told somebody the other day, and I've said this many times before, one of the greatest prayers that you could pray is one word: help. The Bible says that if you humble yourself before the Lord, he will lift you up. What's humble yourself mean? It means realize you need help. Jesus will walk with you through this life. You will not be alone in this world. Sometimes I feel very alone, Pastor. Well, call on his name. He is the comforter. He is your guide. He is your helper. Verse 19 says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will also live. The world doesn't see him, but you will. And you will live because he lives. Now, maybe you've been following the Lord for a long time. And he's like, I don't see him. Let me see a show of hands. How many of you have seen Jesus? Oh, see, that's a little confusing, isn't it? Okay, how many of you have seen you with your physical eyes? Nobody. You've seen Jesus with your physical eyes? Praise God. Can you tell us about that? Uh-huh. For those who didn't hear that, she described when she was a little girl, had an ear infection, and she's not sure if she was asleep or awake. But Jesus appeared in a bright light holding a friend's hand and told her that she would not go through the grave. Wow. That's encouraging. How many want to not go through the grave? Right? Okay, so one person has a testimony of seeing Jesus with their eyes. How many of you have seen Jesus in your heart? Yeah. You know, those who put their faith in Jesus, they will see him. There's a reason why Jesus said the world won't see him. The world's not going to see me anymore. When he was walking on this earth, yeah, they could see him, but he explained to them that once he left this earth, the world was no longer going to be able to see him. The only people that are going to be able to see Jesus Christ are those who put their faith in him. I hope that's all of us here today. If you're like, I don't see him in my heart either, well, let me just encourage you. Call on his name. God, I want to see you. Yes, Danny.
It's like the wind. You can't see the wind, right? But then if it does blow, you'll see.
Amen. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of it. By the way, we should be praying for Texas. They had some tornadoes last night, and there were some deaths. You can certainly see the effects of the wind. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it goes, like Cotton Eye Joe. But you certainly see the effects of it. Yeah, we need to move on. Verse 20, at that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. You will know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. You know what you're going to know? You're going to know that God is for you. Right? God is for us and not against us. Look at Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 21. It says in verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Anybody feeling weak today? There's that help prayer I just talked about. The Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. It can be physical, it can be emotional, it can be mental, it can be whatever your weakness is. The Spirit will help you in that. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I believe that's talking about praying in tongues, and we can talk about that another time. That's another whole message. But it's talking about the intercession that the Holy Spirit makes in us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And again, that's why I believe it's important for us to, as Paul mentioned, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. I wish that you all prayed in tongues. Why? Because when you're praying in tongues according to the Scripture, and again, this is another message, I don't want to get too deep in this, the Holy Spirit is praying through you, and that's important because the Holy Spirit knows God's will and prays God's will over your life. Anybody want God's will prayed over your life? Yeah. And so we need the Holy Spirit interceding for us. Verse 28 says, we know, everybody say we know. All right, now say I know. It's different to say we, but when it's I, that's a whole different thing, right? I know. And trust me, this somebody's going to think this is specifically because of them, but it's not. This is something that God led me here. So when you, that person, just, you'll get it. I know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Somebody say it's good. I know it's good. Sometimes it's not easy to say that. I don't know what that's all about. I know it's good. We just sang a song a few minutes ago. You give and take away. But my heart will choose to say. Why? Because I believe God's word. And I believe that all things work together for the good. How many know that if we were to run our lives according to our own understanding of what we think good and bad for us is, we'd be in a whole lot of trouble, wouldn't we? The truth is, we need the bad along with the good. And we need the good along with the bad. Sometimes I wonder if it's all just so that we can have perspective. How do you know what's really good if you never experience something that's really bad? All things work together for good for those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, He justified. And whom He justified, He also glorified. Now, I want to stop there just for a moment. Because it's talking about predestination. And I know there are many that believe that, well, you know, if it's predestined, who's going to be saved, who's not going to be saved, then why bother, you know, even, you know, going through all the motions, because it's already predestined. Go through the motions. It's predestined in the sense that God knows already who's going to accept Him and who's not. But it talks about, and it's mentioned, whom He called in a few different places there. Back in verse 28, everything works out good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Verse 30 says, whom He called, He justified, and He glorified. Well, how do you know if you're called? How do you know if God's called you? I got a pretty simple answer for that. You're here, aren't you? You know why you're here? Today, in this building? Because God called you here. You might think, no, Pastor, I was just kind of driving by and didn't have nothing else to do, so I pulled in the parking lot. Yeah, it was the calling of God on your life that drew you to this parking lot. Trust me, if there was no call in you, you would not be here. Matter of fact, there are more people who have been called who haven't answered the call than those who haven't been called who did. Did you get that? Did that make sense? In other words, there's fewer people who show up here who haven't been called than those who didn't show up here even though they were called. I'm venturing a guess that every single soul that's here today has been called by God. And I believe that's a pretty accurate. Which means, now you might be thinking, I have no idea what you're talking about, Pastor. But what all this means is that God is working in your life and you are responding to God. You think, well, you know, I just decided to go to church today. No, you have responded to God's call on your life. Think about it. It's way deeper than sometimes we think. And let me tell you something. When you respond to the call of God on your life, even whether it's knowingly or unknowingly, good things happen. Remember I mentioned earlier about transformed lives. I love to watch people's lives transform through the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to be used. God, help me. Use me to be a part of that. Not that I'm anything special. I'm just an ordinary guy. But hopefully my ordinary little testimony will inspire somebody else to say, hey, you know what? I think I want to check this Jesus thing out. Okay. If you want to say it with your lips or if you just want to say it in your heart, say it. I am called by God. In verse 31, this is where I was going with by turning to this portion of Scripture. Because remember, we were back in John chapter 14, verse 20, that said, you will know that I'm in the Father, and you and me, and I in you. You will know. Verse 31 says, what then shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? God is for us. He's not against us. Now, sometimes we may think, oh my gosh, God is against me today. Right? You know, when we've paid the full price for the car and the guy says, well, I think I want more. Anybody ever had one of those days where you just get up and you can't find your shoes?
This morning.
God is for you, Sarah. He's really, it's not against you. You go take a shower just to find out that you don't have any clean underwear. It's like, really, God? That's if you can even take a shower. Because there's no water today. What is up with that? Or if you get water, if you're like at my house, every once in a while throughout the year, you turn on the faucet and brown stuff comes out. Like, oh, man. Yeah. You forgot to bring the towel, and somebody showed up while you were in the shower, and they're in the living room talking to your spouse or somebody, and you got no way to get to the bedroom. God is for us. He's not against us. I'm getting way off here. Having a little fun with this. Back in John chapter 14, verse 21, this is very interesting. I want you to get this. He who has my commandments and keeps them. There's a lot of people in this world. We know people in this world that have God's commandments, but they don't keep them, right? He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now, Jesus manifests himself to those who love him. And it goes on to say, Judas, not the scary one, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? You see, there's a reason why, you know, atheists and, you know, people, non-believers, there's a reason why they so vehemently oppose Christianity, oppose the idea of Jesus Christ being the Messiah, because they don't know him. And they can't know him. He hasn't manifested himself to them. Why? Because they don't love him. You know, when I became a believer, and I believe this to be true for most people, it wasn't until I fell in love with Jesus that he really manifested himself to me, and then I really believed. And I'm not even sure if it was him that I fell in love with at first. It might have just been the idea that I may have fell in love with the idea that he gave his life for my sins. Love the idea that I no longer had to worry about the death penalty because I'm a sinner, because Jesus paid that. But through all of that, somehow I fell in love with Jesus Christ. And next thing you know, manifestation comes. Which, what is manifestation? Manifestation meaning understanding, enlightenment, evidence. He manifests himself to those who love him. That's what it said. He who keeps my commandments, has my commandments, keeps me. It is he who loves me, and that's the one who Jesus manifests. So, here's the deal. If you've been living a life kind of around Jesus, but you're really just not getting it, I want you to take a different look at Jesus. And, you know, I have people all the time that ask me, well, where should I start to read the Bible and how should I read it? I want you to read your Bible not for the information, because a lot of people have the information. You need to read the Bible in order to build a relationship. Read it to get to know Jesus. When you're reading, the Bible says that Jesus is the Word. And so read the Word in order to get to know the Word, who is Jesus. It's not just a bunch of information that we can file away and say, oh, isn't this wonderful information I now know? No. Isn't this a wonderful Savior that I now know? Because if you read it in order to get to know Jesus, you will begin to fall in love with Jesus. For many people, most people, it's not a love at first sight situation. How many of you had that? How many of us in this place who are married, it was love at first sight? There's a few. I knew that about you guys. There's a few. But when it comes to Jesus, unless the Holy Spirit does something in your heart the moment you realize that he's, you know, that you hear his name for the first time, it won't be a love at first sight thing. You're going to have to get to know him. How many of us, before we fell in love with our partner, we had to get to know them a little bit, right? Trust me, my wife, this was not a love at first sight situation. I might have fell that. It could have been that way for me, but not for her, trust me. My mother-in-law's like, no. Oh, no way. That was not a love at first sight situation for me. Wow. And so you need to get to know him. And then you fall in love with him. And then what happens? He manifests himself to you. You want him to manifest himself to you? Fall in love with him. The people who will share their deepest, darkest, or lightest, greatest things about their life are the people who have a love relationship with you. Jesus manifests himself. Let me see your hand. How many can testify Jesus has manifested himself to me? Yeah. You see, you wouldn't get that many hands if it were not true. And so if you've yet to have Jesus reveal himself to you or manifest himself to you, understand it's possible, and he will, if you will turn to him. Now, verse 23 says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now, this is one of the awesome things about the Word of God. God takes residence in those who love him. And so not only does he manifest himself to you, in other words, make himself known to you, but he takes up residence right inside of you. So where's God today? How close is he? He's right here. He's right here. Revelation chapter 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And we understand that, and I get a kick out of this because, you know, how many of us have heard the expression, well, if you accept Jesus into your heart, you'll be saved. Anybody heard that? The Bible never says that anywhere. We take it for granted in an understanding. And it's true. I believe it's true that he comes into our heart, although the Bible never does say that. So I mess with my preacher friends sometimes. I did this a few weeks ago. One of my preacher friends, well, you got to accept Jesus into your heart. I said, show me in God's word where it says to do that. Whoa, show me. It's not there. This is as close as it comes. I stand at the door and knock. The door of what? The door of your heart. And of course, there could be some debate there because the Bible does say that you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So is he standing at the door of your mind? Little questions along the way. But we believe it's the heart. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. 1 John 4:15 says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. God takes up residence right inside. Hallelujah. Now, that can be a little scary. When we need him, we want him right there. But when we want to walk in the flesh, we don't want him quite that close, do we? Oh. But trust me, once you start living your life under the influence of the Holy Spirit that God plants in your heart and in your mind, I think there's a reason why God said, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? So maybe the door is your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Maybe it's all of it. I want to be consumed with Jesus Christ. Anybody else want to be consumed with him? God takes up residence in those who love him. Verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word, back in John chapter 14, verse 24. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but my Father's. But the Father's who sent me, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. Now verse 26, but the Helper, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. How many want to know all things? I want to know all things. Hopefully you want to know more than what you know already. Where's it come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. I've said this before. Where do new thoughts come from? Where do new ideas come from? Where does new understanding come from? It only comes from the Holy Spirit. You want new revelation? Talk to God. It says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sends in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I love that verse. He will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I need that. I wish he would bring to me the remembrance of everybody's name that I meet along the way. I struggle with that. But I thank God that when I'm in my deepest, darkest moments, when I need an encouragement or when I need some direction in my life, he brings to my remembrance his word, the things that he spoke to me. And he says in verse 27, and I'm getting ready to close, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. How many need a little peace? I need some peace. Some might be saying, I would have peace if you would just stop preaching. Maybe, just maybe. Jesus says, I'll give you my peace, not as the world gives to you. And then he says something that I think is very important for all of us codependent people. If you don't know you're codependent, I want you to look up the word codependency. Do some research and do some study. We're probably going to do some preaching on this pretty soon. I'm not going to name names, but my wife and I were talking about this, and it's like, wow, there's a lot of people that struggle with this in their life. If you do understand what codependency is, I want you to hear these next words that Jesus said. Okay, the Holy Spirit will help you. We've been past that. Jesus wants you to have peace. We're just getting that. Okay, think about that for a moment. If you do not have peace in your life right now, you think that maybe you're outside of God's will? Maybe you're outside of what Jesus really has for you? Because he says, my peace I give to you. If you don't have peace, something's wrong. And when there's something wrong, it's never on God's side that the wrong is, right? And I'm not, pointing fingers out here and condemning everybody. You're all wrong because you don't have any peace in your life. That's not what I'm saying. But what he says, let not your heart be troubled and let not your heart be afraid. Who's he putting that on? When he says, let not your heart be troubled and let not your heart be afraid, who's he putting that on? He's putting that on you and me. He says, I will give you my peace. And therefore, do not let your heart be troubled, and do not let your heart be afraid. How many of us right now have troubled hearts and we're fearful? Right? Which means we are outside of God's will for our lives. Which means, now, those in the codependent world, yeah, that's us. We are letting our hearts be troubled, and we are letting our hearts be afraid because of circumstance, because of relationships, because of this or because of that. Stop doing that. My wife looks at me like, really? As if it was just that easy. Well, it does become easier when you have more clarity, but when everything is chaos and there is no clarity, where do you go? Who do you turn to? What have we been talking about here this morning? The Holy Spirit, where is He? He's right inside you. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He teaches you all things. Why? Because He is the Spirit of truth that has been given to you. Why? So that you can have peace in this life in the midst of all the stuff. We got a lot of stuff. And so I want to encourage you this morning. Stop letting your heart be troubled and stop letting your heart be afraid. Why? Because Jesus Christ has it. He's got the answer right now. And you know what? We need to be people of what? Faith, right? But Pastor, you don't know how bad the situation is. I don't need to know how bad the situation is. God's got it. And sometimes it gets really bad. And it's hard. And our hearts get troubled. And our hearts get afraid because of the circumstances of life and the relationship that we struggle with. Or, you know, life in general, life and death and fun and turmoil and all the stuff that goes. Think about this for one moment. I'm going to stop with this. Jesus says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. What is Jesus's peace? At that time in His life, He had peace. How could He have peace knowing that He was going to become a curse for us, knowing that He was going to be crucified, knowing that He was going to take on the sins of the world? How could Jesus Christ possibly have peace with all of that going on in His mind? There's only one way possible. Jesus trusted His Father God. And Jesus knew the power of the Holy Spirit in His life. And that was enough to give Him peace, that His heart was not troubled. Matter of fact, He rebuked the disciples. When He started talking about the cross and disciples, you know, started to rebuke Him, say, hey, oh, no way, you're not, that's not going to happen. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He knew what He had to do, and He had peace. Would you have peace if you know that, you know what, pretty soon I'm going to be crucified for stuff that I didn't even do? He was crucified for the stuff that you and I did and every other sinner out there. And yet He had peace. And He says to you and me today, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be afraid. Somehow we need to find the faith inside of us to trust God no matter what. Right? Stand with me this morning. Kyle, you want to come and play something for me? Or play something for Jesus? Whatever that may be. You are not orphaned on this earth. He is with you. You are not empty on this earth. He fills you. You do not have to struggle with no peace in your life because He gives you His. I think it's time for the church to step up, to stand up. and to take a look at what we are allowing our hearts to endure. If your heart is troubled, if your heart is afraid, understand, that's not what God has for you. He's got much better things for you, much greater things for you. It all comes from faith and trust. It comes from opening up your heart, letting the Spirit of God come in and fill you. How can you possibly have joy? You know, I've been with people who've been through some of the most horrific circumstances. You know, I've been with people who are just totally devastated, troubled, and afraid. And I've been with people who've been through very similar circumstances who are just praising God. How can this be? It can only be by tapping into the Holy Spirit that is right inside you. And so let me encourage you to do that. If your heart is troubled and your heart is afraid, as Kylie begins to play, I want you to come up. And as I mentioned earlier, there's something about praying around an altar. I've been having these ideas about when we're done with the Sunday night study that we're just going to have a prayer. We're going to have a prayer night here on our Sunday evenings. We're going to spend time around the altar. How do you know who's hungry for God? It's the person who steps up to that altar and gets on their knees and humble themselves before the Lord. If your heart is troubled, if your heart's been afraid, don't be ashamed, but come and let Jesus Christ give you some of His peace, because that's really what you need. Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we have put our trust in You. We have fallen in love with You. But Lord, we have allowed our hearts to fear and be afraid. We have allowed turmoil and trouble to affect our being. And so God, today we come before You. We humble ourselves before You, because we need Your peace. You said You would give it to us. Lord, give us Your peace. We are so desperate, God. And whether the circumstance changes, or whether it stays the same, or whether it even gets worse, God, I need Your peace. And I choose today to trust You. I choose today to let my heart say, blessed be the name of the Lord. All of these circumstances that bring us turmoil and trial and tribulation and struggle and fear and strife, I pray, God, that they will no longer have an impact in our lives. Not a negative one. But that we would be driven by them to our knees to call upon Your name, that we would receive peace. Holy Spirit, fill us. Each and every one who has called upon Your name, fill us to overflowing. Speak truth into our lives. Jesus, manifest Yourself to us right here in our hearts, so that we would know You. And God, the peace that passes understanding would flood our souls, and we would be able to stand and to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I pray this peace upon each and every heart in this place today, especially these who have come to this altar. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. As Kylie continues to sing, greet one another, love one another. But do not leave this place with a troubled heart. or with fear. But give it to Jesus and let him fill you with his peace. God bless you all. I'll see you back at 6 o'clock this evening. Amen.
Rest your